Advertising your business with GCN is simple, effective,
and more affordable than you might think.
Visit advertise.gcnlive.com for more info. Take your business to the next level.
Our Matrix server is about as free as internet chat can be. Join the existing rooms or create your own at chat.freetalklive.com.
Death Mozart musician. Oh wait, no, that's Beethoven. Wait, who is the death guy?
I don't know. I don't know.
One of them guys. Mozart.
One of them. Asking the wrong guy.
No, it's Beethoven.
Okay.
What was it? Hey, what did they find on the piano bench when after Beethoven died?
I don't know.
His first movement.
Ooh.
Joke Talk Live, that's right. No, it's Free Talk Live. The telephone number is 603-283-6160. In the studio, it's myself, the captain.
And Richie Rich.
The phones are suddenly packed for some reason. We'll get to the calls momentarily.
People are going to set us straight.
Before we go on, I want to say thank you to Gavin68. That's Gavin68, who is a gold-level amplifier. What does that mean? Well, you can find out all about the amplifier program over at amps.freetalklive.com. That's amps, A-M-P-S, .freetalklive.com. There's different levels. Silver is $5. Gold is $10. So Gavin68 donates $10 a month to help get this radio program that you're listening to right now onto more radio stations to help advertise, market, promote, and support. That's AMPS, advertise, market, promote, and support. If you enjoy this show, the hosts, the co-hosts, the callers, the perspective of freedom, peace, liberty, and prosperity that we try to come from, then please consider becoming an amplifier over at amps.freetalklive.com, just like Gavin68 did, because we're on like 180 radio stations now. We could be on 200. 250, 300 is not out of the question. It's all up to you. And in my opinion, getting the message of freedom out is the most important thing that we can do right now. Education must come before the evolution occurs. And so we are the front lines of this. If you're already into libertarianism, anarchism, voluntarism, any of these words that you know, individualism, any of these words that might describe a better way, then this is where folks want to start.
Best use of your Liberty dollar.
Indeed. So thank you again, Gavin68. We appreciate you. Amps.freetalklive if you want to figure out how you can contribute. All right. We've got some folks on hold. Let's go to, we got Major Payne calling from Michigan. Major, you're on Free Talk Live.
Hey, guys.
Hey.
You brought up the homeschooling thing earlier.
Yes, sir.
It's kind of interesting. Back in the early 80s, my kid, when he was in junior high, raised so much cane on the bus, they were throwing him out of school right and left, and they ended up demanding that I homeschool this child.
We don't
and
want
they
him.
Gave me the curriculum to do it.
That's an amazing way to do it.
My, how times have changed.
Now they would just drug him.
Yeah, beat him over the head and drag him in the cave.
Yeah,
I don't know. Things like that. Everything's gone sideways. We're living in topsy turvy world.
Oh yeah.
But I want to touch on all this climate change hoorah. I never thought I'd be given the British credit for anything, seeing as how I'm Irish.
Yeah.
Have an ancient disdain for that.
As long as you don't refer to them as Great Britain, because there's nothing great about them.
Well, no, I would never. I think I'd step on my tongue if I did that.
Okay.
Below average Britain.
Anyway, yeah, Britannia, masters of the sea. Anyway, you remember the green, all this Green New Deal hoorah that they're pushing the
Sure.
You know, banning the gas stoves and banning the engines and all this.
Carbon tax.
Well, Britain had signed on to that part of this Green New Deal, and they were going to come 2030 ban all new gasoline cars. Till 2035, they were banning gas boilers and gas this and gas that, just like New York and California, right?
Mm-hmm.
Well, they've decided to backpedal on this thing. I mean, I'm glad somebody finally woke up in Parliament. This just isn't doable.
Was it because of the outcry of public aversion to it? Like, was there a rising up?
Well, it's a new burden for the public. They're making them buy all the new crap that they don't even need. Just like when Obama made us all change TVs, you know? It was ridiculous. But anyway,
I will say this about the switch over for the TV real quick. One of the crying shames of the standard definition era is we don't have HD clips of Michael Jordan.
Oh, yeah.
It's all blurry. And like, oh, man, he's not getting his due. It looks good on a little small little phone screen, but, man, that should be in HD.
Yeah, that's likely the case for a lot of that stuff, right? The classic stuff. Anyway, go ahead, Major.
Well, there's a lot of old tapes that are just disintegrated, and they couldn't even rescue them.
Yeah, that's the problem.
The BBC actually had to crowdsource what they call the lost episodes of Doctor Who, the longest-running science fiction series in all of history.
Yeah, they're missing some.
Well, they were able to reconstruct them because they got lucky and somebody found. So the reason they were lost in the first place was because no one at the BBC valued history. They would take the tape used to cost money, right? Tape is the physical medium that you had to put these videos on. It wasn't just a hard drive or something like that. So tape cost money, and so for them to save money, they would just record over old shows.
Yeah.
Once they aired, they're like, oh, it aired. It's
done. You rent the new porn from the video store, you overwrite the old porn from the video store.
That's how it worked for the BBC, too. Okay. And so they lost a certain section of the classic era of Doctor Who. They got lucky, and they got most of it from third-party recorded videos, and then they were able
to sort of
cobble together with, like, voice actors who are still alive, right? Or they would take voice clips from their previous episodes, if they were in enough of them, and cobble it all together to where they made a coherent missing episodes thing. They weren't exactly as they aired, but they were the closest anybody's going to get. So you can get the idea of those stories in its complete idea form instead of just this, you know, oh, it's just missing. Nobody, you know, only people who saw it originally could, like, recant what the episode was about unless they had a copy of the script in their hand. So
That, though, who directed it, right? Same script, different director, turns out different.
Right. Anyway, Major, you were saying?
This kind of stuff has been going on all throughout history. I mean, back in the Renaissance days, it was quite common for an artist to paint over another picture. They'd find three or four pictures underneath one another.
Yep. Because painting canvas costs money.
Yep. But anyway, speaking of trying to reclaim the old stuff, they couldn't bring back the first five seasons of MASH when they tried.
I watched a bunch of MASH, and are you out? Okay, later. I watched a bunch of MASH because it was syndicated rerun style.
Okay.
And my favorite part of MASH was, they're coming back from commercial, and they have this, like, sky view of the whole camp, and they have a loudspeaker. So, you know, occasionally, like, radar, or somebody would get on and give an announcement to the whole place. And he goes, attention, everybody, Monday will be canceled due to a lack of interest. Something along those lines. And I was like, that's a weird thing to say, right? So, anyway, that's what happened.
I was a big fan of Klinger.
I liked who was the
Okay.
No, the old guy, the head of the thing. He, instead of saying crap, he would say horse hockey.
Oh, I don't
right. Know. I picked that up from him. Anyway, let's go to this unscreened caller. What's your name, please? You are live on the radio.
Hello, can you hear me?
Yes, you are live on Free Talk Live. What's your name?
Yeah, how you doing today, man?
I'm good. What's your name?
My name is Anita Blackman.
Hey, Anita. What's on your mind?
How you doing? I was thinking earlier today, summed up in the 607 rap, Lil Savvy King. TJ Maxx is great for clothes. I can advocate for that.
LRN.FM.
All right, that'll be enough of that. I'm not sure if he violated, but I dumped him anyway.
No, he did.
Yeah.
There was an F-bomb in there.
Yeah, that's what I thought I heard. It was
okay.
His connection was less than stellar.
It was very poetic.
Yeah, yeah. So, all right.
I've never had a Krabby Patty, but I have had a Krusty Burger from the Simpsons restaurant at Universal Studios.
A Krusty Burger?
And a Simpsons donut with a giant donut.
I wonder if you could get a Krusty Burger and, like, a two-piece Crisp Krispy.
Well, you have to start the Crisp Krispy thing first.
Well, okay.
All right.
But maybe that's how you start, by, like, offering a two-piece with a Krusty Burger or something. I don't know. Let's move on to Sarah in New Mexico. Sarah, you're on Free Talk Live. Sarah?
Ah, yes.
Do it again. I'm just going to make it up.
A pedestrian got hit by a horse-drawn carriage in downtown Albuquerque because they went through the red light when they weren't supposed to. And we need to do something about the red lights. They're not long enough, and the horses don't know how to see color, and so they just run right through the red light. And it's the pedestrians that are getting hit.
All right. Well, thank you, Sarah, for the non-call. I mean, that was a legit impression, man. I can't really take anything away from you. I would like to score you low, but I just can't. It's not possible.
I'll just let my chair do it as it starts to drop again.
It's pretty spot on, really, if you ask me. I'm trying to find what happened to my window with my show prep on it. It's not...
Find it. We got to get to the number two story.
That's what I'm trying to get to.
Okay.
Here it is. All right. Yeah. Let me just. I got to move windows around here. And we'll squeeze this one out. Get it?
Because it's the number
two story.
The number two story.
All right. I found it. Here we go. This from sfgates.com. Woman rescued from outhouse toilets after climbing in to retrieve Apple Watch, Michigan police say.
Yep.
Oh, no. Wait, I didn't even read this article, so I didn't get to skim this one. But in my head, oh, no, I've dropped my Apple Watch into the, what do they call around here?
Outhouse?
The porta-potty things.
The poop box? I don't know.
There's a brand or something.
Okay.
Right? Porto-let.
Okay.
You know, whatever. Yeah. I don't.
Porta-John?
Whatever. Oh, no, I've dropped my Apple Watch into the Porta-John. Like, into the real, not just on the floor, but, like, you know, in it. In
right.
The toilet, you know, where the poo
was
supposed to be.
A Porta-John or, like, an outhouse, though? I thought it was an outhouse.
It says outhouse toilet, but, like,
okay.
Outhouse toilet could mean a lot of things. I just have a vision in my head of this being, like, a porta-potty.
Oh, okay. I'm not picturing the porta-potty because she got rescued from it. Like, you could touch the bottom
That's
of a porta-potty.
That's true, and if this is in northern Michigan, hang on. It does say northern Michigan. So northern Michigan is, if it's the Upper Peninsula, there's, like, a lot of super old houses out there that didn't need electricity, never had plumbing. There are outhouses galore are not uncommon in the UP, particularly in the rural areas. There's not much city area of the UP, so it's all rural area for the most part. Even houses that have wells and septic systems now also have the old outhouse.
I have used a real outhouse before.
Yeah, I have too. One of my grandfathers, when I was super young, I had the chicken pox at one of these. It was northern Wisconsin, not far from northern Michigan. One of these properties where there was no electricity. We only had oil for lamps. There was a wood-burning stove for when it got cold. And I got the chicken pox while we were staying there. And in fact, I'm convinced that I was brought there to get the chicken pox because there was a family across the street, and they were all real keen to send me across the street to play with those kids.
Okay.
And I did. And I kind of vaguely recall noticing something odd about the kids, and in retrospect, I'm like, I think they might have had the chicken pox. And then,
that's
sure enough, I got the chicken pox.
You want to get it young.
Yeah.
And then you recover easy.
And I wrote it out there. It was, I don't know, a week or something.
Yeah,
you
that's
know,
about right.
Whatever. We might have stayed 2 weeks. I'm not sure how
I've also had the chicken pox as a child.
But I remember, like, it would get cold at night, and I'd have to go out to the outhouse. I'd have to, like, walk some distance from the house down a trail that was not lit at all, right, with, like, holding a kerosene lantern, right? You know, the outhouse itself was just, oh, my God, horrible smell. Horrible smell.
I do, if I get my own property, I do want to put an outhouse, but not a real outhouse. Like, I want to plumb a toilet out there.
Yeah.
And just have the structure of the outhouse, but it's a real bathroom.
Huh.
Just so it has the look.
Yeah.
You know, like a faux outhouse.
Interesting. Why would you want to walk all that way to go to the John?
Well, I also have one in the house, but I just want to put, you know, the outhouse.
So, like, when your buddy comes over and he's known for, like, you know.
Yeah, you can blow up
dropping the bomb in the bathroom. You're like, no, dude.
Put a little half moon out there. Yeah.
Look, we built this just for you, pal.
Yes. You know where you can poop in my place, and it is at the outhouse down the way.
I hung out with some bikers at some point in my life. I lived in Sturgis, South Dakota for a minute. This group of bikers told me this story about how they were, initiating the patrol or the new guy, right? They call them prospects.
Okay.
Right. And so one of the things they did is they made the prospect somehow get into the outhouse, you know, under the threat of firearms, right?
Okay.
They all pulled out like a gun or something. They're like, sorry, prospect, you got to get in there right now. You done wrong somehow. He screwed up somehow. And they were like, your punishment is you got to get in that outhouse. He's like, but I don't want to get in. They're like, chick. And he's like, okay, I'll get in the outhouse. And so he gets in the outhouse. And they all, you know, point their guns in the sky and start boom, boom, boom. And the guy freaks out because he thinks they're firing on the outhouse, right? So he jumps down into like, take cover or whatever.
Okay.
And so then finally, like, they come and they open the door and they're like, hey, man, you can come out, man. We weren't really shooting at you. And he's, of course, covered in crap as he gets out. And that was his initiation.
Which, as expected, they probably all had gone through as well and may have taken the same course of action.
Right. I equate it to, like, joining a fraternity in college, where they make you do all sorts of weird stuff to join the fraternity. And, like, well, they did it to me, so we're going to do it to you, right? It's that same kind of...
Fortunately, Gonzaga didn't have fraternity culture, and I'm not a big fan of that culture in general.
Yeah.
Too much of an individualist, as it were, to deal with hazing just to be a part of your club.
Right. Yeah.
Whatever.
There's a reason why I never bought a motorcycle or, you know, that kind of thing. And it's just like, I like some things about bikers. I find them to be anarchic or at least voluntarist.
Sort of.
Not all the time, but in the way they conduct some of their business. Like, if you're going to be part of our club, then here are the rules that, you know, and you voluntarily join after reading those rules, right? So, like, you know, in those ways, you know, it's a bit of a reach to say they're voluntarists.
I've raised my issue with bikers and biker culture on the show several shows ago. I'm not going to do it again.
Yeah. I'm with you on that. Like, their tendency for violence is what turns me off. And also, there is a bit of collectivism going on in there. And, like,
they're a gang.
I'm far too independent as a person to, like, join something like that.
I do want to bring back the sidecar, though.
Yes.
If I had a motorcycle, like, not that I couldn't ride a motorcycle on two wheels, but I just like the sidecar action.
All right. Before we continue with this story, let's go to, I believe this is Dana in Michigan. Dana, you're on Free Talk Live.
It sure is.
Calling from the outhouse in the Upper Peninsula.
I don't call every Sunday, but it wouldn't be a Sunday if I didn't call. You guys, actually, it wasn't you, Captain. I believe it was... Richie, that suggested the Tuttle twins to the man that called in about the homeschooling.
Depending on the age of your homeschooling child, yeah.
Yeah, yes. I want to make another recommendation. Whether libertarians loved them or hate them, that's not the point. You cannot like someone, and maybe they're the author of something really great. The Rush Revere from Rush Limbaugh, he wrote a series of books, and I wish he would have lived for a lot of reasons. I didn't listen to him all the time. I would listen to him for like months at a time, and then I wouldn't, and then I would. But his last years, like his last, oh my gosh, probably the second half of Obama's, when he got in the second time, he was just nothing short of brilliant. And he got even as sick as he was when Trump was in. Some of the stuff he said, I mean, I'm surprised I didn't have a car accident, because he was on from 12 to 3 Eastern time, and I'm on Eastern, you know, standard and or daylight savings time. Mm-hmm. And, you know, that's lunchtime. I'm not the whole 3 hours, but I'd be out for an hour, hour and a half. And, you know, you're driving around and there's other people out there. And, you know, then he says something funny and you get lost in the radio. And I had a couple of close calls and I thought, oh, I can't listen to this guy at lunch because he just cracks me up. But that being said, Trump would do that too. They would do the, you know, the break, like they have the news break on the hour and every half hour.
Yep.
They do local news and national, and they would say something he tweeted the night before or the morning, earlier that morning at 3 a.m., and I would just lose it. And again, love him or hate him, some of these people are really brilliant at comebacks.
So what's so special about the book, though? Or the books,
okay,
that
the
wrote.
Books are historically, teach kids, Revere, or Liberty is the name of a horse, and the horse time travels, almost like Bob and Ted's Excellent Adventure. Remember that movie? This horse time travels, and I was planning on getting a hold of Rush. I believe he resided in Florida, did the show from Florida. I wanted him to turn it into an animated series because the stuff was brilliant. His books, before the Tuttle Twins came out, his books had the exact same effect that the, what was the wizard thing that got all the kids reading?
Harry Potter.
You know what I'm, huh?
Harry Potter.
Yeah. I mean, adults reading the stuff, they got the parents hooked on it. And I know some people were anti-wizardry, but see, I didn't.
Those dirty Christians.
I've never known anybody to say, you know what, I'm anti-wizard.
It's the Christians.
Well, no, you know what I mean.
Witchcraft.
I know what you mean. It's interesting terminology.
I'm Christian, and quite frankly, I practice. So I am practiced devoutly. But I don't like getting too much. Look, I went to a private religious school, and one of my brothers, one year, we would have dress up, and most people would dress up like the saints or the pope or something, or a famous nun. I won one year because I was a famous nun, and I think they're doing a movie about her now.
Mother Teresa?
Anyway,
no, the nun, too.
Oh, the flying nun.
No, not the flying nun. Stop it.
Nuns on the run?
Mother Cabrini. She was Italian, and she was a famous. She is a saint. She was canonized a saint. Anyway, but my brother, even though we went to private religious education for 12 years, one year my brother was the devil, and he was a really great devil. Yeah. My mom really did a great job. Another year he was a skeleton. See, because back in the day, people didn't get all hot and bothered about stuff.
Right.
So I didn't have a problem with Harry Potter because I'm a freak about reading.
I'm not saying that all Christians had a problem with Harry Potter. But I'm saying that those that had a problem with Harry Potter were the Christians.
Thank you for the call, Dana. We appreciate you. 603-283-6160. The final segment of Free Talk Live is yet to come. What will we talk about?
If you're concerned about the power grid and want to generate your own supply of off-grid electricity, this will be the most important message you'll hear this year. Here's why. We now have a small number of solar generators back in stock. These emergency backup systems provide life-saving backup power when you need it most. And unlike gas generators, solar generators run quietly, emit no dangerous fumes, and produce an endless supply of free electricity from the sun. Whether it's wildfires, dangerous weather, power grid issues, or just getting off the grid, you'll never have to suffer through painful power outages again. Even better, all this week, radio listeners get over $700 in free off-the-grid bonuses, too. Go to MySolarBackup.com to learn more and check availability. That's MySolarBackup.com. Look for the free report, Crisis Cooling, how to make absolutely sure your meat, milk, and medicines stay safe and cool in any power outage. Yours free at MySolarBackup.com.
USA News update. The major film and television studios delivered their best and final offer to the striking writers, adding to significant hope that the negotiations to end the months-long strike will conclude with an agreement this weekend. Negotiators with the Writers Guild of America were expected to review the offer and deliver their response. New Jersey Governor Phil Murphy and other top Garden State Democrats are calling on Senator Bob Menendez to resign, a sign of how quickly the senator's political support may erode after his shocking indictment on federal bribery charges. And Ophelia, now a post-tropical cyclone, is moving up the East Coast, bringing heavy rainfall and threats of flash flooding and dangerous surf from North Carolina to New Jersey. New York City issued a travel advisory warning of a long-duration rainfall event. Skip Kelly, USA News.
Get healthy, not high, with 100% pure CBD powerful natural pain relief from Veterans Vitality. GCN listeners, have you ever thought about how CBD may help you? I'm sure you have heard about the many benefits of CBD. Well, here's your opportunity to try before you buy. Created by veterans and for everyone who deserves better choices, our CBD is derived from organic hemp, grown in the USA, and third-party tested. Veterans Vitality CBD saves you as much as 25 to 50% over our competition, and a portion of all sales is contributed to veteran nonprofits and events. Many of our customers have experienced improved quality of life, help with anxiety, PTSD, and overall well-being. Our products do not contain THC. They are safe, non-addictive, effective, and 100% legal. GCN listeners, get your free trial bottle of premium CBD by simply paying shipping and handling at GCNFreeCBD.com. That's GCNFreeCBD.com. Again, GCNFreeCBD.com. Offered by Veterans Vitality Premium CBD.
Have you heard the warning from the dead doctors don't lie guy? I'm talking about Dr. Joel Wallach. He says if you have a 4-inch medical chart, if you take prescription drugs for high cholesterol or high blood pressure, arthritis, joint pains, or other health issues, the medical profession is failing you. They're using you for an ATM machine. That's what he says. He has a free lecture revealing what pharmaceutical companies don't want you to know. There's been groundbreaking research and discoveries on how to effectively treat or eliminate over 900 different diseases naturally. And it's all in his free lecture called Deadly Recipe. You want it free? Call him toll-free at 855-79-YOUNG. You ready? 855-79-YOUNG. Dr. Joel Wallach, the dead doctors don't lie guy, says there's no reason why we shouldn't live to be at least 100 and have a great time getting there.
We still do email. Drop your email address in the entry box at freetalklive.com, and you'll be kept in the loop with Free Talk Live.
I don't know. It's like using your voice as a human didgeridoo.
I don't know if it's the didgeridoo,
but it's kind of what a didgeridoo.
Well, I get that, but Jack Black, you're familiar, Tenacious D.
Yes.
I feel like he's an average musician, and so anything he can't do with the instrument, he just does with his mouth, and it works. I know what I want it to sound like. I just can't make it happen with my guitar, so I'm just going to mouth that part of it.
Are you familiar with Wolfman Jack?
Yeah, I'm familiar with the name.
Wolfman Jack was a radio announcer, DJ guy who was famous for his personality, and he had this weird, like, his beard was black and gray, but not salt and pepper. Like, certain areas were gray, certain areas were black. And he had this, like, Wolfman Jack, this sort of scratchy voice. Like, you know, I'm doing a poor impersonation. Anyway, I remember, you know, growing up, folks were, like, into that. Like, oh, Wolfman Jack. Like, he was a popular media personality.
Yep.
And so I watched the Weird Al movie, the latest one, or the one that came out.
Yeah.
And there's a bunch of cameos of people playing the parts of historical media figures in radio. and Jack Black plays Wolfman Jack, thereby becoming Wolfman Jack Black.
Nice.
Which is just a whole rabbit hole in and of itself to think about. But he does the character justice. And it's like, I'm like, the role, like as an actor, the role Jack Black was born to play, I believe, was Wolfman Jack Black.
Right.
Yeah. Like, he knocks it out of the park, man. So, hey, let's just try this one more time. Sarah, can you hear me?
This guy.
Sarah.
Yes, I'm on.
Yeah, third time's a charm.
Well, you know the homeless people, they got to right to set up homeless encampment, and our state judge ruled that it's illegal to throw them out of that place and take all their stuff in 24 hours.
As long as it's on public property, I don't have a problem with it, because that's what public property is.
Well, it's on public property as long as it's not blocking the sidewalks.
I don't even care. Right? Public property is paid by all for the use of all, and if they're choosing to use it that way and they got there first, what can you do?
Are you for or against these homeless camps, Sarah?
Well, I think I am in favor. I am in support of the homeless camp because it's so hard economically to make it. And that's why they're siding with it. Too many people are getting thrown out on the street. Our average apartment is like $1,000. So even though it's kind of like I have mixed feelings, like half and half. I mean, people really need to set up, and they got to stay there, but then they become.
I have an idea, Sarah. Would you be willing to report back on a thing? Like, go to one of these camps and, like, you know, bring your sleeping bag and then spend the night with these people. Hang out with them. Say hello. Introduce yourself. Meet these people and spend a night with them and then come back on the show. Tell us how it went.
See if they've got a bar and some prostitution going on.
Swimming pool, casino.
That's the problem is that they shoot drugs. You know, they smoke crack. They leave all their needles everywhere. That's problem. They trash everything out. You know, they just.
How do you know if you've never been to one?
Well, you know what? I just have to see all the debris. I mean, I have to be just around an encampment just to know what's going on.
Yeah.
And it just ruins it for everybody else that really needs to set up a camp.
That's the tragedy of the commons, Sarah. If you're going to have common property to be used by all, some people are going to use it differently than you would like. But as long as, you know, they're theoretically paying for it or free riding it or whatever, it's there for them to use, and that's how they've chosen to use it. As long as you're going to have public property.
As the homeless people won, I mean, I'm just amazed. They even have lawyers that do pro bono back up the homeless. So that, I mean, they have to do
I am anti-bono. That guy from YouTube, he sucks.
Yeah, I don't know. They have to give him like 2 weeks notice or something. They have to provide another place to live or something. They just can't just come and give you 24 hours and take all your stuff and dump it in the
garbage. Where are they
going
to go? If they had another place to live, you think that they would choose where they're at if there was like a better option available?
Well, I mean, supposedly, you know, they offered like homeless shelter places or hotel vouchers or whatever.
And usually those things come with strings attached that they don't want to abide by.
Sarah, it sounds like you might care about what happens to homeless people. Tell me this. How much money do you give to homeless charities, or how do you assist the homeless every year?
Well, I just want to say, you know, I just went to the church today, which is called, there's a church that have 4 women's homes. They have about like 4 men's homes. They have a thing called Under Construction.
Mm-hmm.
And then New Beginnings. And I've been getting money to that church, and I found out they're doing a special women's conference, $25 ticket, and all of the proceeds go to these 4 women homes, whether you're homeless or you're halfway house, or it entails. So I support these places where they, you know, have food banks. They also have a food bank. So that's my.
So via this church, you give them some money, and then they do some things that are nice and helpful to the homeless.
That's fine.
That's fair.
Yeah, and plus I give people money here and there. If they don't have a needle that they're holding in their hand, or a crack pipe or something, or a, you know, like a beer bottle in their hand, or those are the ones that I don't give any money to, but I'll buy them food and stuff like that. I do my best.
I think charity should be unconditional.
Oh.
No, I mean, no, not really. If you're just getting the money to get, buy a pack of Marlboros and get drunk, buy more vodka and buy more dope, no, I could see that. I don't give them money. No.
Yeah. I get it.
No, I'd rather buy them a sandwich or something. You know what I mean? And then what's funny is that these people that drink, they'll eat the food like they're starving to death, but all the money, they'll buy something to drink with it.
That's like virtue charity.
Right? Virtue signaling charity?
Right. Like, I will help you, but only in the way that I see fit.
Right, yeah. One of my favorite homeless panhandling experiences of all time was in downtown Seattle, Washington, which, if you've not been there, yeah, Seattle's got a whole bunch of homeless people, a whole bunch of panhandlers. You can hardly walk across the street without somebody begging you for something.
Wait, let me guess. Did he have a sign that says, "I bet you can't hit me with a quarter"?
No.
Oh, okay.
That is a good one. But I was actually, I had to find parking downtown because I was going to a club to see a friend of mine's band. And so I finally found there was a line. They hadn't opened the doors yet. And there was a bit of a line, not much, you know, 20 people or something, waiting for the doors to open. And there was a panhandler sitting down on the ground with his hat out and, you know, like a dollar and some change in it. I assume to prime the thing. I assume it was his dollar
seed
and
money.
Change, seed money, if you will. But he had a cardboard sign that said, "Will not lie, I need beer." And yeah. I was like, you know what, dude, here's $5. And I slapped the fin in his hat, and he was like, "Hey, thanks, man." I'm like, "Dude, I'm on my way to have beer too, man." I said, "Well, you shouldn't." You know?
Right. Your job doesn't care what you do with your money after you've performed the work.
Right.
Right. So what do you care about what the homeless dude does with the money after you've given it to him?
Yeah, and it's entirely possible he didn't use that $5 for beer. I just liked the way he went about panhandling better than anybody else I had ever encountered.
Well, that makes sense, because you drink beer. So what's wrong with other people drinking beer?
No.
So that's how a lot of people's psychology is. Whatever they like and do themselves, it's okay for other people to do it. And a lot of people, whatever they do themselves, other people, they like the same thing too. And a lot of people, they don't.
Do you think there's charitable heroin users? Like, is there a heroin user out there in Seattle walking the street somewhere, and he sees some other heroin junkie jonesing for his fix, and he's like, "You know what? I'm going to give that guy some heroin today."
Too expensive.
That's my thought on it, too.
Yeah,
but he could, you know, he could get something else for it.
Mm.
Yeah, you got to work for this needle boy.
Sarah?
Yeah.
We'll find out what can we find behind the dumpster.
So I just want to give a lot of praise to New Beginnings pastor, Mr. Mansfield. I mean, I found out they bought the whole property, whole section of the building.
Praise the minister.
I was amazed that the church is doing so well because they help the downtrodden people,
you know,
so they get recompensated.
Yeah.
So anyway.
Yep. So they rope them in. Promise them salvation.
That's how you run a, a voluntary organization, Sarah. And thanks for the call tonight. We appreciate it.
And then
it.
Occasionally the state will interfere and tell the churches that you can't feed the homeless and you can't shelter them because you're not zoned for housing. And so letting them sleep in the church is a violation of Ordinance Code 5B, Section 32C, and you got to put them back on the street so we can clean them up later.
Yeah, and in fact, organizations such as churches would be good targets or at least places that people could look to learn lessons from on how, in the absence of the state, things might get accomplished.
Yep.
Right? You can look to churches for ways that they have found of already doing these things, right? They do all sorts of outreach for charity. They'll feed people, right? They'll build homes in some cases, right? There's a whole bunch of different organizations that churches belong to. Habitat for Humanity is a largely religious-sponsored organization. Things of that nature, you know, exist in the world. And they could be done more efficiently by having them become what we call privatized instead of publicized.
Yep.
So... let's get back to our number two story.
The number two story.
We've talked all about number two, but not about the story. Woman rescued from outhouse toilet after climbing in to retrieve Apple Watch Michigan police say.
See? Real outhouse, not a port-a-john.
Bagley Township, Michigan. A woman was rescued Tuesday from an outhouse toilet in northern Michigan after she climbed in to retrieve her Apple Watch and became trapped. Trapped, trapped. Did the seat fall down and she couldn't get out?
Is there a seat in the outhouse? I thought it was just a hole in a board, man.
Most outhouses do have a toilet seat, like, okay, stapled onto it or somehow fastened to the things. You sit on it, but there's no bowl.
And, okay.
It's just a box.
She couldn't wedge her little fingers in there to push it up to climb out?
The woman.
It's too dirty.
Whose name was not released. She doesn't want people to know who she is.
I mean, for an Apple Watch, I get it, too. Those are not cheap goods.
She lowered herself inside the toilet after dropping the watch at the Department of Natural Resources boat launch.
Was it an emergency? Was it a like third-party watch band and it broke?
I don't know.
Why are you taking that off in the outhouse?
So the Department of Natural Resources boat launch at Dixon Lake in Otsego County's Bagley Township, state police said Wednesday in a release. Apparently,
too many guys in the lake.
Apparently, the Department of Natural Resources at Dixon Lake can't plumb, and so they have an outhouse.
Okay.
And this is where she found herself. She decided.
Maybe it's plumb to just rise into the lake.
Yeah, maybe. So, first responders were called when the woman was heard yelling for help.
Help me, help me.
I've fallen into a vat of chocolate. It's an old Smothers Brothers skit. It's a song. He's like, I fell in a vat of chocolate.
Did they pour sand in slowly so she could slowly rise and climb out?
He's like, well, what'd you do when you fell into the chocolate? And he's like, well? He's like, well, come on, you fell into a vat of chocolate. What'd you do? He's like, I yelled fire.
Like, all right.
Why'd you yell fire? I yelled fire because no one would save me if I yelled chocolate. Anyway.
It's valid.
First responders were called when the woman was heard yelling for help. The toilet was removed and a strap was used to haul the woman out.
The toilet was removed.
Like they, with her in it?
I don't know. Well, no, because she's in the hole.
So they just raised it up, and she's like they raised it up off the ground, and she's left standing there in the pit or something?
I need pictures, like the last article.
And a strap was used to haul the woman out. So they apparently threw a rope or something.
Okay.
And then
I hope it wasn't a new rope, because you're not going to use that rope again.
Yeah, get the oldest, most used rope that you can find.
Tie a whole bunch of old shoelaces together.
You know that old extension cord that's been through hell and you've already broken the one prong off so it can't be plugged into three prong outlets or whatever?
You still can plug them in.
I mean, you can, but use that one.
Yeah.
Because that's the most likely to be replaced.
Right.
Quote, if you lose an item in an outhouse toilet, do not attempt to venture inside the containment area. Serious injury may occur, state police said in the release.
If she has to pay for the rescue, I wonder what the cost-benefit breakdown would be. Like, was the rescue more expensive than replacing the watch?
Right, yeah.
Or did she still save money by fishing the watch out? You got to go get it. It's multiple $100 device. Like the new one's like an $800 watch. You're not going to just drop down and go, oops, guess I'm not going to see that again.
What needs to be invented now is the self-outhouse extracting Apple Watch.
Okay.
Right? Like, so that if you accidentally drop it somewhere, it just, I don't know, it sprouts, the drones have them, those little fan blades.
Yeah. Right?
Like four of them unfold and it just sort of lifts itself out and finds your wrist again. Slaps your wrist full of crap.
I feel like my watch has been on my wrist for months at a time. Like I shower with it on. I can't imagine taking it off in an outhouse of all places.
Yeah.
Just the way not to drop your Apple Watch into the outhouse is to not take it off your wrist. Right?
Correct, yes. So I'm just assuming here that she was wearing it on her wiping hand.
Okay.
And
you caught it?
They caught, or it wasn't fastened enough for something, if it was a new one.
All right.
Right? You know, and like, you know, it went the wrong way.
Okay.
Didn't go her way.
I'm in danger for that then, because my watch is also on my wiping hand, and I have never caught it on the toilet seat and had it hit the water.
Let's go to this unscreened caller. You're on Free Talk Live on the radio. What's your name, please?
Thomas.
Hey, Thomas, where are you calling from?
Indiana.
Indiana. What's on your mind? You're on the air.
I heard you guys make the comment if heroin users ever gave heroin to other people needing sticks and yeah, it happens all the time because they understand what it's like to withdraw. Any of them that are decent people.
So there is charity within the heroin user community, according to your experience?
Oh, big time. I mean, that's part of my ministry. I use what little profits I make from selling to help others when who don't have the money or who are going without. And because there's such a large population of them in this area due to people who were cut off from the doctors getting arrested or put out of business. And So that's what they're getting by on then.
Well, that softens my heart a little bit. Yeah. I don't even want to make fun of that.
Yeah, totally.
Yeah.
Did you want to say anything else?
They're not all selfish, horrible people. A lot of them are just regular, hardworking people.
I didn't claim they were. I just, knowing the straight price of it.
You guys don't insult them. Yeah. You're not Jay Noon. I know you guys got to get hard.
All right. Well, we appreciate the call tonight. Comment. Yeah. Have a good night, Tom. Tom? Thomas? I don't know.
Whatever.
Anyway, caller.
Hello, caller.
Meta caller. What's a good?
You're not important enough for us to remember your name.
What's a good ambiguous name?
Pat.
All right. Yeah. Everybody's Pat.
Pat.
Yeah.
Androgynous.
Thanks for calling. That's not ambiguous. If you lose an item in the outhouse toilet, do not attempt to venture inside the containment area. A serious injury may occur, said state police in a release. They did not say Wednesday if the woman was injured or if the watch was recovered.
Okay.
So they're warning you not to attempt to do this should you drop your watch in the outhouse.
So she got all the way down there, started crying for help, and didn't spend any of that time like sloshing around trying to find the thing?
My guess is she got it, and then they helped her out, and then they had to make this ridiculous statement. Attempt to do this because she, and then she wasn't injured at all.
Okay.
This is also my guess, because they had to warn you against serious injury, even though there was none.
I get it, and at the same time, people do lots of dangerous, stupid things that they ought not do,
Okay. But
you take the risk of doing it, knowing that there might be a rescue. I'm going to go hiking overnight in the wilderness.
We've got just a few more minutes here. I want to segue to this story from Zero Hedge. Liquor in the front, poker in the rear, Denver homeless camp busted for drinking and prostitution.
That's why I asked Sarah about it.
I know. A homeless camp in Denver was cleaned up after a viral video revealed that some enterprising individuals had set up a makeshift speakeasy with prostitution tents.
Who's the narc that let that video out? Just leave them alone.
They have a picture of what appears to rival some of the outdoor bars I've seen, even at, like, Porkfest.
Or during the COVID lockdown, when they had to do the outdoor bar from the indoor bar, and they wouldn't let you indoors, so you have to go drink outdoors.
Right, and then they built an indoor outdoors so that you could still drink outdoors
but while you're indoors,
except not being inside.
You were outside.
Right.
You were inside while you were outside because you couldn't drink inside.
Right. And you had to be outside.
You had to be outside.
And then they created a new inside on the outside that was apparently exempt.
Right.
From being the inside.
Because it was a tent.
Right. The setup featured lounge chairs, umbrellas, and AstroTurf and was found in the city's burgeoning homeless encampment at 23rd and Champa.
Let's call it what it is. It's a homestead. It's a collective homestead. It's public land. They're on it. Too bad.
What were the Native Americans called? Nomadic tribe.
Okay.
Right. Homeless camps are now nomadic. Right?
Well, they're
not by choice.
Yeah.
Yes.
They're involuntarily nomadic.
Right. Yes. Yeah. But nonetheless, nomadic. Okay. Right.
Like gypsies.
Right. The encampment resulted in numerous complaints to the police after pedestrians were forced into the streets to pass it. We're hearing there was an open bar, sales of alcohol, things like that, Denver Police Division Chief Aaron Sanchez told CBS Colorado. He added, "We have officers looking into it." Sanchez also said that there have been complaints that surrounding tents and couches at the street side bar were being rented out for prostitution.
Just a couch on the street outside the bar. If you're that desperate, probably afford that one.
Oh, my gosh. Homeless aid group executive Megan Shea of Step Denver, whatever that means. What's a Step Denver? Is that like, it's not the real Denver, it's your Step Denver. Step Denver. Says that she noticed the apparent bar while driving to work. and said that an encampment featuring liquor would only exacerbate the city's homeless problem, given that 80% of homeless have experienced lifetime alcohol and or drug issues, according to Shea.
Will it exacerbate it, or will it just... I mean, if they know where to go to get the liquor, right, then they're not going to spread out across the city.
Yeah, like, I mean...
They're also not going to go, like, break into liquor stores and shoplift, because it's there.
I would rather have somebody try and build a business, right, to get themselves out of whatever predicament they're in. Right?
Even if it's a bar or a prostitution couch.
As long as it's voluntary, yep. And, you know, they're not forcing anybody to do anything against their consent, right? They should be allowed to do that, right? This bar should be allowed to become a bar, right? They should be allowed to hire the other homeless. You know, it should be able to grow. They should be able to add a grill to the thing. They should be able to serve food, and they should be, you know, and if you don't want to go there, don't go there, right? But if you do want to go there, well, there it is. You can patronize the institution.
Oh, but the poor pedestrians who have to walk along the street.
But they didn't get a license, Richie Rich.
Well, then too bad.
They didn't pay the man for the fee to, like, serve and sell alcohol.
That'd be an interesting legislation, right? You get your street bar license and open up in the homeless encampment.
Street vendor license for the homeless bar. Have you seen these... They have one in the Seattle area in the summertime, and it's basically a very long bicycle with a bar on it.
Yeah.
And everybody sits at the bar, has to help pedal because there's pedals under each of the seats.
I've seen this thing.
But you can, like, drink a beer or a cocktail like as you go on. Like, there's a tour guide, and they're like, over on the left. You
don't even have to get the light
beer
because you're working out the calories as you're drinking.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's something that, like, could be, like, the ice cream man goes around neighborhoods. That could go around to homeless camps.
Yeah.
Right? With, like, a street vendor.
And set it up in New York, and they can do the rat tours while you're at it.
It could have multiple purposes.
There you go.
A multi-purpose bicycle tour. Yes.
We're doing it. That and Chris Krispies double chicken.
Sponsored by Chris Krispies. Chris Krispies.
Get on it, entrepreneurs. We gave you, like, several good ideas tonight.
I don't even, like, ask for... I mean, if you want to give me a kickback or something, feel free.
I mean, I'll ask for the kickback. You don't have to. I mean, it's not mandatory, but I'll take a charitable contribution for a great idea.
Or at least some free fried chicken.
Sure.
It's delicious. It's not delicious.
Lifetime two-piece, one a day.
We're out of time. Thank you, Richie Rich. Thank you to all of the callers, all of our listeners. You're the most important. We appreciate you. If you missed any of tonight's program, go find the archives over at freetalklive.com. Thanks, and peace.
It's obvious. The unthinkable is going to happen soon. With all the distractions in the media, we probably won't see it coming. Your gut tells you there's something very wrong going on, and all the evidence suggests that there is. Those in charge say everything's fine. Stop noticing. But you know better. American families are preparing. Folks are getting into self-reliance and investing in emergency food storage. My Patriot Supply, the nation's largest emergency preparedness company, is the place you can trust. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com and secure their best-selling 3-month emergency food kits. Each contains tasty breakfasts, lunches, and dinners, averaging over 2,000 calories per day. Get at least one food kit for each family member. For a limited time, save 25%, plus get free shipping on all their 3-month emergency food kits. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com today. Order by 3 p.m., and your items ship the same day. It's time to prepare for what's coming. MyPatriotSupply.com.
I had no idea it would destroy my life. But before it happened, I had a successful business in Austin, Texas. Everyone laughed at me when I shut that business down, but I could not ignore the wake-up call. I was volunteering on a project to get locally grown food into a school. That project was a complete failure, and I discovered that there were few local farmers. There's only 4 days worth of food in the grocery stores, and everything comes 1,500 miles via a just-in-time trucking system. I lost friends and family who told me I was crazy to worry about that, but I kept at it. I'm Marjorie Wildcraft. Those of us who know what's going on in the world know you need to become self-reliant before the dollar collapses. I've created a free webinar at gcnfood.com. I can show you, like I've shown hundreds of thousands of people, how to grow lots of food, even if you have no experience, you're older, or you're out of shape. Do it now, before the stores are boarded up and food is not available at any price. Go to gcnfood.com. GCNfood.com.